the first Peter, chapter 5, and verse number 8. We always like everything hilarious. We like the freedom. But here the man of God says, be sober. We do not like to think of sobriety and being trapped. I believe that can be for the individual. I believe that that can be collectively. Because we said one and said one and said all. Continual reading. Be vigilant. There's a reason for that. Because your adversary, the devil, as a rolling lion, talking about seeking whom he may devour. Jesus only has one purpose for your life, and that is to save you. And for you to inhabit that mansion that is gone away to eternity, the devil has only one desire for you, that's to not see you in this world. Father, we've already prayed, but I ask you again to help us as we bring this message to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I believe God spoke to us this morning. I want to say this morning, and it might be a little bit different. I dream very, very well. And when I dream, I can't remember what I dream. So dreams don't make much of an impression on me. When I thought of what I dreamed this night, took the time. That bothered me. Brother Clinton always talked about those two snakes. He killed one of them. The other one got away. He said every day of his life, he lived looking for that second snake. When I dreamed of that snake, I woke up early and quick. But I got relief one day when I believe it was God talking to me about those dreams. He said, yes, son, but not one of them ever get you. The snake that fell in the garden is for one purpose, and that's to put a venom of sin in your life that you can't recover from or you won't recover. I'm going to talk about another dream that I had this morning. But let me tell you about the dream I had last night. I'm worn out today. All day long, I'm worn out. Have you ever had that kind of a night? I believe that Sister Kirsten has been dead for upwards of a year. She's been dead, you know, been gone for that long. But I had a dream about her last night. I dreamed that she got married. I don't remember what my reaction was in the dream. But I told Gary and Brittany this morning about that dream. I'm glad I don't dream it because I don't dream something like that. But Paul said, I will come to dreams and revelations. Would your father say that? Or I said, what? I will come to dreams and revelations. Had a wonderful experience growing up under Brother Clinton. He had a way of saying things and doing things that someone like me did not capture the reality of it until he explained it. One time, he said, God showed him something. I told him, I said, Brother Clinton, and I read the show and told his book the same thing. He said, where do you think I got it? I said, you said God told you, or God showed you. He said, son, God used that man to show me. And there's nothing wrong with that. I hope that I said something in these 35 plus years that opened your eyes, that reveals something to you. The dream that I'm going to tell you about tonight in the beginning of the message. Looking through some of my old notes, I don't know what year this was, But my wife and I had only been married a couple of years. June 2nd of this year, we celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. Thank you. We've been married a little while. As a matter of fact, we were living with the we were staying with Brother and Sister Clinton a few nights in their home because we were evangelists. In my notes, I put these words, 12 of experience last Monday night. I was preaching here, and I want to make a truth out of this for us today. I was sound asleep in the middle of the night, and a man and his wife were in my dream. That wasn't a silly dream. That wasn't an unrealistic dream. God was talking to me, but my body was asleep. God doesn't have to talk to you while you're awake. He can talk to you at any time. But in that dream, this young man and his wife, all I could hear, and I could hear the words. I didn't see it, but I heard these words. I will destroy. I prayed about that. The man was a friend of mine. His wife was a friend of mine. I went to that man, and I told him of the dream. He broke down, almost called his wife's name. He said, please go tell her. We've just been married a little while. But we, our parents, no one in the church knows that we're going to marriage counseling, trying to salvage our marriage. I prayed with them. I prayed when they were not around. But in spite of all of the prayer, that marriage wound up in a divorce, which is not the will of God. We must realize and understand that we have an enemy every moment, every minute, every hour of every day that we live. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He doesn't take vacations. And until Christ devours him and puts him under his feet forever, he's still going to work. Every thought that enters your mind, you need to try that spirit. That's what that thought is. Try the spirit, whether they be of God or not. Just because you have a thought, I preach for a man once in the state of Illinois, drove me crazy. Because every thought that crossed his mind, he said, God told me. That's not always the truth. Try the spirit. Know whether they're God. It could be the flesh. It doesn't have to be the body. It could be the flesh. Solomon said a multitude of business makes a man dream. The devil can make you dream, but that is torment. Torture. What is the devil will come and try to plant something in your mind about your brother or your sister in Christ. You're trying to put something in your mind about something that is not God. So you have to try that. Is this really you, God? Is this you dealing with me? If it is, even the flesh or the devil, it's for one purpose. It is destructive in its character. The devil can't give you a clean thought. He can't give you a clean mind, just as God can't give you a filthy thought. Everything with Christ is pure. Everything with Christ is holy. Everything with the devil is a lie. He is a liar from the beginning. And there is no truth in him. No. There is no truth in the devil. But if you buy it, let me take you to what I've told you before. When you read the writings of people like Watchman Nee and others. I don't remember which one it was, whether it was he or another. He said, the Bible says, yield not to your members as members of unrighteousness. But he said, whatever you give to the devil belongs to the devil. He can't take it. He can't steal it from you. He cannot rob you. But whatever you give him belongs to him. Then he continued to say, the only way to get it back is to go. Because once he gets it, he's not going to let go of it. I know people that are having struggles in their life. And the struggle is caused by that it is church in their mind. They believe it's true. They've been convinced that it's true. They think it's right. And believing that just digs the hole deeper. Whatever Christ does, he comes to lift you up. He comes to edify you, encourage you, bless you, strengthen you. The devil only comes to destroy you. The serious thing, when we really begin to consider this being sober and being vigilant, and watching the Christ in adversary, the devil, as a Roman lion. Are you a mouse for a roaring lion? No, I won't get into such an enemy. You won't. But I'm not sufficient. The Bible, Stephen Morgan, does not say that the devil is a lion. It says he goes about analyzing about the only thing he can do that a lion can do is he can roar against you. He can't dismember you. He cannot kill you. He cannot destroy you. He cannot ruin you. But he can roar at you. Now Peter, the great apostle of God, is giving this warning that you are going to be roared against by James Wilson. You are going to be roared against Bobby Wilson. For one purpose, the devil is saying, boo, boo. That's all it is, it's a bluff. Remember what was said of Jesus? He's also said of us, I can't touch you, the devil said. You've got a head to build upon. I can't get through to him. Throw him. Take everything he's got. Here, Christian. What he's saying is, I can't have any success with Job, no matter what I do, how I do it. He has no cattle, no barns. The wealthiest man maybe that ever lived. I've even turned his wife against him. But Job said, I will retain my integrity. Though he slay me, speaking of God, though he slay me, yet I'm going to test him, I'm going to speak him. There's no way that the devil can beat you as long as you're under the blood. But he goes about not killing, not tearing, not stealing, not ruining, but roaring. Sometimes those loud noises get to be very disturbing. God gives us sufficient warnings, I believe, of what the devil is. Now we know that Jesus is the Lord of the Lord, the bride and morning star. He's the King of all kings. He's the master of the wind that blows. He's everything. There's nothing good that he is not. But there's one thing. The devil is the prince and the power of the air. Everything, I've said this before, everything that God made, in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, God made this and it was good. God made that and it was good. God made this and it was good. God made this and it was good. But reading your Bible, when God made the firmament, he did not pronounce that good. There's a reason. Because the devil
according to the apostle, is the prince and the power of the world.
There is in Satan, in the devil, a certain amount of power. No wonder that in the beauty and the accuracy and the perfection of this book, Jesus said, all power. A-L-F. All power. In heaven and in earth was given unto me. Any power that Satan does have has been given him by God. God has permitted it. But it only goes so far, and there's an end. It only goes to a certain point, and that's all of it. That's no more. I know that you know that. How long is that going to be? How long is that power of the devil going to be used? I can tell you when it's going to come to an end. It's not going to come to an end in your lifetime. It's not going to come to an end when you die. The devil torments you the same way he's tormented every other generation. There's nothing new under the sun. He's not come up with one new trick all of the time that he's been here. Then he's standing in his face. He that letteth has done. God lets. Will let until he be removed. Whatever Satan, his emissaries, his demon spirits, whatever he uses, God is going to end. In hell, devil will have no authority. He will have no power. He's going to be in a deeper hell than the people that go to hell. God has reserved a hell for the devil, the false prophet. My God, I pray a prophet in the word of God is a messenger. God's going to put that false prophet in the same hell that he puts that hell. I don't believe that if God had given us an explanation and an accurate picture of hell or the depth of hell, I believe that we would die just from reading the fear and the explanation of what was. What does the devil know about this? The devil knows that his time is short. Do you know that? What do you do when in certain circumstances you know that you're coming down to the end? You work harder. You fight harder. You try more. The devil, I believe, is being loose. Now, I'm not going to get into politics, but if you think Barack Obama was a hero, you're wrong. If you think Donald Trump is a hero, you're wrong. They're men. They're fallen men. You may want to applaud Barack Obama. I can't stand most of the stuff he did against this country, making same-sex marriage, all of this kind of stuff. You know what worries me about that? For people that get their attention on a man, be it Barack Obama, Donald Trump, or whatever. The Bible says if you find pleasure in them, that not only are they worthy of destruction, but they've been finding pleasure in them too. You better quit defending men. You better get your eyes on Jesus Christ. There is no deceiver. There is a worker against light. Jesus is the light of the world. To okay those kinds of plans is a sin against God Almighty. And it's a Christian that goes in the polling booth and pulls my hand off. What you're saying is, that's the kind of lifestyle. My God, help us. There is a scourge, and there is a flow of unrestrained sin in the world today. Do you know it? Berkeley, California. The University of California, Berkeley, is ruled number one learning institution and the highest place of learning in America. The only thing you've got to do is to have a different opinion of some of those rock throwers. may break out the windows in your school. They will attack you from every side. That's not my example. Oh, that's not my belief. I have something that is to be exalted and lifted up. What is going on? We are seeing a surge. Read the history. Remember the history of your lifetime. We've never seen this before. We've never beheld anything like this before in its severity. Burning down the streets. All of it's going on. It's coming. But the devil knows his time is short. He knows that all he's got to do is to work his work. Sow that seed. Affect that life. And he can kill it. I'm not getting amen from that. I believe you're listening to me. What about the Christian that gets caught up in this political mess? The end will not come except to come up from the world. I want to tell you, politics can make you fall away. Your neighbor can make you fall away. Your preacher can make you fall away. There's a lot of things that can make you fall away. Don't look to your preacher. Don't look to the politician. Look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, who is able. That's what we must do. He said, because iniquity will bound the love of many with white coat. I want to say, I say a lot of things that are bold and strong and understand. There's a lot of things that I'm not sure that we're ready to hear without being angry. It's kind of like chicken and the egg, which comes first. Do you say it first, or do you wait for there to be a move of God in some way that you can say anything when he said, bless your name, who shall not be offended in me? The end will not come, except the coming of time away from it. But this is a frightening scripture. Because iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. What is that waxing cold? I don't know that it's any one thing. It's anything that gets between you and God. It's anything that gets between you and your walk with God. It can be anything that you see or you hear. Can be anything that makes you mad. Be anything that disturbs you. What does it do? If something makes you mad, you do not attack that something. If someone makes you mad, you do not attack that someone. What do? You pull back, you get mad, you get angry. There's kind of something in that spirit of yours that's not going to die. Something is planted in you. I'll tell you what I believe, and I'll struggle for it. I believe that the devil tries to get into my mind. Tries to get into my spirit, into my heart. It is a constant war, business. It's a constant fight. It's a constant war for me. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Whoever that preacher was said, when you give it to the devil, it's his. We're in a battle. This word difference in our scripture. Constant awareness. During the floods, we had deer in our yard. They've been washed up out of those little places. They had to be real still and real quiet because they're jumping to the side of every movement and everything that goes on. That's what we're going to be. You know why? There's something instinctively in that deer. That sound that you hear. He had never been shot at in his life. Mom and daddy never told him that you have to be afraid of that guy with a long rifle. Instinctively, there is something that if he's afraid, he's going to run. He's going to get away from the noise, wherever he is. Be vigilant If you hear a sound, if you see a movement, if you are aware that the adversary is against you, then you can resist it. Scripture says men will be lovers of ease and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Right? God is making the comparison, not you. God is making the comparison between Eastern culture and God. When men will be lovers of ease and pleasure more than lovers of God. That is wrong with you, isn't it? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So you say. Storms are coming, such as we've never seen. Do you hear me? There's a night coming that we've never seen. Something we've never even heard of. Paul said, we not bow our knee to Baal, but we have been bowed. God didn't say that he looked at the physical meeting position. He said, men look on the outer appearance, but God looks on the heart. What does that mean? Do you remember the story of Baal and the prophet? God said, there are 7,000 that are not bowed their knee to Baal. 7,000. How many were in that land, in that country? What was the population? I don't know. But maybe 10 did. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many times that walk in the way. 7,000 would have been a drop in the bucket. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe if the rapture would take place tonight, if the rapture would take place tonight, I believe most of the people, I'm talking about them, even on the percentage, I believe most of the people that would be in the rapture would have to go from the grave. I don't see much evidence that there's a whole great number of people that are. If Phyllis knew the name, Phyllis turned in the rapture. She sent me I think it was an email. I told you what Ken Bickley told me, that the largest church in the world was in Alabama. He looked at me like I looked at him. Phyllis sent me that, and I've watched it a couple of times, that there is in Iran a church of over 400 and it's breaking off all the time. But listen to me. The people that attend that church and those churches have stood up and made it clear. We are going to serve God with our hearts. If it costs us our lives, we will. How many of you would like to see that? I'm going to get Phyllis to send it to you. We're going to serve God. It may cost us our lives. Dr. Harmoos, that was here a couple of years ago in the convention, was pronounced to be the most hated man in the land. He said, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, through that satellite. He is preaching to those people in the land. They don't have phones. Maybe they don't have televisions. Maybe they don't have computers. But they make their way. My wife and I, when Susie could not even go, though she was with us, my wife and I, when we went to his secret place, we watched him live on television into a ramp. And we watched person after person go to homeless. And it's being interpreted to us. Our ladies and gentlemen, Brother Harmoos, please pray for me. Would you tell me, Dr. Harmoos, how did we save you? And we watched that for a long time. We took a little break with him to eat a sandwich. That was our lunch. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. up in the gospel, Jesus said, the entrance of my word is light. Life. Liberty. 400,000+, according to that report, that said, we want to serve God. I remember when Brother Cunningham first went to the Eastern Bloc of the Soviet Union. You remember hearing him tell that, how that when they drove up, there was not one car on the parking lot. But when he walked in the building, and Jim Morrison was with him, that the building was packed to suffocating capacity. They were told, don't mention anything about the KGB. Don't mention anything about, you know, bad about Russia, whatever. Don't even mention it. Because they're all over this place. And if you say anything, they will arrest you. Here these young people have arranged that. We stand up and we declare that we're Christians. And we're going to serve God. We're going to live for God. You have an adversary, and they have an adversary. And that's the reason that there are the millions around the world of people have been killed. Not because they robbed the state, not because they were wicked and corrupt. It's for one reason. They said, we will not bow our knee to this godless system of religion. I probably don't have that kind of boldness. And I've always heard it, whatever you need, when the time arises, God will face. I can't tell you that we're not going to face these kinds of things. Have a great report for you. There's never been a man or a woman that wanted God's help that he can do that. Right? Call upon the Lord of all his name. Seek him while he may yet be found. He saw Moses in the bulrushes. The entire Egyptian army was against those boys and against those children. You know the beautiful story about Moses in the bulrushes? Yes. That when the girl saw Pharaoh's daughter taken out of the water, she said, would you like for me to go find an Israelite that will nurse him and feed him and keep him? That's nice of you, honey. You go find one that will take this baby that only fits in a basket. Do you know who the girl went and got? Huh? His mother. The girl was his sister, right? The devil thinks he has you outnumbered, but God let your mother nurse you. You grow up to be a man, they didn't get him. He killed those Egyptians, buried them in his family. He had to flee the country, go to the backside of the desert. But when God called him out of that desert, he said, this is a bush. That's all fine, but not this good. And that same God that was watching him open in that basket said, Moses, take your shoes off. You are the Holy God. Moses, take your shoes off. You are the Holy God. John, if I like that song. Moses, take your shoes off. You are the Holy God. The very one that they sought to kill, Moses, reached the point where he would rather be called what? Than to dwell in the house of Pharaoh. He'd rather be right with God than be dwell in the Pharaoh's house with all of his riches. Herod tried that same trick. And every boy 2 years of age and younger is going to have to die. No. Because God is in control. This devil that goes about to kill you does not have any power to kill you. It's when he roars. It's when he lies. That you give him that thought of your life, of your mind. What does the Bible say about the man in the closing? Let this mind be in you. What? That was in Christ Jesus. The devil found Jesus and said, cast yourself after the pinnacle of the temple. God's given angels charge over them to keep you and protect you from the gift of the Spirit. Jesus knew that he came into this world to die, not to deny my temple work of it. Get my hand on this right there. He recognized who he was talking to. You need to recognize who's doing the talking in your ear. We need to recognize. How do I recognize it? By knowing the words of this book. I know the words of God. That's not what God said. I was going to go over with you the story of Samson. But I think I will leave that for another time. God said you receive power after the power of Samson. Samson was a mighty man. But he laid his head in the wrong way. He laid his head in the wrong way. Always trying to find out the secret in his strength. He was nothing more than the devil incarnate. She tried to find out. He wouldn't tell her. She'd come back and say, you lied to me. That's not right. You're withholding from me. He finally said, I have the power of my soul. Secret of my strength is in that power. Now, part of that power is hair had to grow. Some man one time told me, said, I'm just trying to be Jesus. Be like Jesus. I said, if you want to be like Jesus, go walk on the lake of the river. It's not in the lake of your heart. Go walk on the lake of the river. Go to Forest Lawn and raise somebody from the dead. And I don't care how you wear it. It's in the Bible that even nature itself teaches you that it's the same for men to have one life. It's in your Bible. And I want to be like Jesus. She cut his hair. And the time she hollered, Samson, the Philistines were upon you. He would kill him, waste the ruin. But this time, because of this compromise with the enemy, they take him, put his hands out, but he's running out of the way. And I'm glad to tell you that there is a scripture out of his home. In Alice, Texas, not too many months after I married that girl, right? And I told you all about how I married her. I've never preached that sermon before. But he said, I'll do it. And he began to pray. Stephen, I looked at that one day, and I said, that bunch of nuts, they know the secret of the strength. Why don't they put it with her? Why did they just save him? He never got his eyes right back because it took a little bit of leading him by his feet. When I preached in Minneapolis, Minnesota, I wasn't even married then. That's how my husband, but he was with me, staying in the preacher's house. Got a phone call. And the pastor said, Brother Tony, this call is for you. I picked up the phone, hello. And this man said, I'm calling you from radio station. And we've got a great prize that we're going to give you. If you can give me the name of the boy that led Samson to the pool. Tell me. You're talking about me. Tell me. Just give me a name. I wanted that prize. It was that pastor. He broke down in a story. I can promise you, I've studied that enough to know that that boy is not me. And he said to that boy, all I want you to do is show me where the pillars of this church are. He had won many victories. With a vow that man's right, and that consecration to God, that he killed more than ever, and he won a greater victory by putting down that temple than he had in all the rest of them being put together. It doesn't matter. The devil may be after you, he may be trying to kill you, to save you, or whatever. But I can tell you, in the latter end of this thing, we're going to see a greater work of God than we've ever seen in our lifetime. If you believe that, stand with me. stand with me and lift your hands and say, God,